Situated 295 kilometres southeast of Calgary is the town of Medicine Hat, which despite having a rough sleeping issue equal per head a capita to that of Calgary, in 2015 their Housing First initiative officially declared that they had eliminated rough sleeping. Jamie Rogers from the Medicine Hat initiative joined Community Radio Y'all's Will McGoldrick to explain how the Housing First initiative works and how they eradicated rough sleeping in the town of Medicine Hat.
Even though it's a smaller centre here in southern Alberta, the issue is quite prevalent. When we look at the prevalence rate of homelessness here in Medicine Hat, compared to, say, that of Calgary, which is an exceptionally large centre, the rates were about the same based on per capita. So it was quite an issue here in Medicine Hat. And, you know, there's this misnomer that in small, maybe rural or smaller centres that homelessness is not an issue, but it absolutely is, because you have to look at the context of the community. So when we talk about homelessness in Medicine Hat, we talk about it in terms of how many people we have housed and versus how many people are maybe still experiencing homelessness. So where we started back in 2009 with our initiative versus where we are now, exceptionally different.
Now, in 2015, you guys actually effectively came out and declared that you had succeeded in ending chronic homelessness. Now, chronic homelessness, not homelessness.
Correct.
Because people are still going to fall in and out of the net.
That's right. And you know what? Our definition of ending homelessness was something that this community came out with and wrote into our local plan to end homelessness. And why that was important for us is because we knew if we did not set a benchmark or a target, we would not achieve it. There was also not a provincial or a national definition of what it meant to end homelessness. So we really gauged against that, and also recognizing that ending homelessness, as you said, well, does not mean that people don't find themselves homeless. It really is about measuring that system-level response and how programs and communities respond to individuals that are falling into that state of homelessness, how quickly we're able to get them out of that state of homelessness and keep them out of that state of homelessness.
Indeed, and that's one of the big problems with it. You have maintaining their situation whereby they're not homeless again.
Yes.
So looking at the underlying trends as to why they became homeless?
Yes, that's so important. A lot of times, you know, there's a couple different, you know, bodies of knowledge and thought process about, you know, some people that experience homelessness, you know, on average 10 days, the majority of people can raise themselves out of that with minimal or no supports, actually, or interventions required. And there are those that are, you know, episodically homeless, they'll find themselves in it quite frequently, and those that are chronically homeless that actually need more intensive case management and maybe a Housing First type of approach and philosophy to actually help them, one, get out of that state of homelessness and to stay out of that state of homelessness. And then we go further down with the intervention spectrum, and it's some individuals will always need 24/7 support services to keep them off the streets.
And would it be fair to say that many of the homeless would have not just mental health issues, but drug addictions?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of the individuals that, I'm going to speak from Medicine Hat context, a lot of the individuals that have come into our program, you know, they self-report at the time of intake, and we track their self-reported conditions throughout their time. And, you know, 60% of the people that we have served here in Medicine Hat report a mental health condition, 49% a physical health condition, 33% substance abuse. And so, you know, those kind of ailments and those kind of challenges are prevalent throughout that population, more so than the general public and the general population itself. You know, when we look at other elements, you know, kind of what causes people to fall into that state or how they experience getting into that state, especially in Alberta, because their data collection is consistent, but, you know, 25% of those that are as adults experiencing homelessness were in foster care at some point in their lives. 37% exposed to a fleeing family violence. So there are a lot of indicators there about, you know, what might preclude someone to be coming into that state of homelessness, and you know, how their lifestyle or their growing up or their, you know, childhood is going to impact where they end up.
Did that compound the issues of homelessness, because you then presumably had to deal with various mental health bodies as well?
It definitely compounds, and it, you know, it's sometimes it's situational or regional in approach, and what the jurisdiction has to offer for individuals. And we know that, you know, we talk about Housing First, and that is so key, that, you know, regardless of what people are experiencing in their lives, that having a roof over one's head is the best place to start from. You don't actually know what the underlying issues are until someone is safe.
Mm-hmm.
and house and can actually work on those other areas of their life if they choose to. And, you know, part of that is having caseworkers and supports and advocates to help you connect to those, whether it's mental health or addictions or even just a doctor for those physical ailments, to just connect with those professional services so that those other issues can be addressed, much like maybe you or I would go to see a professional and you know, have that readily available to us. In the state of homelessness, you can't do that.
You've looked at everything then. You've discovered that we have a big issue here with homelessness. Where does the impetus and the will come from to sort this out?
You know what? It comes from many different places. It's always from the community, always from the community and the people with lived experience that are, you know, in that state of homelessness. You need to have that collective effort in terms of all levels of government, so the local or the state and the municipal and provincial and federal. So all those levels of governments need to contribute and coordinate for this to be successful to the degree that we see in many jurisdictions, and Medicine Hat included in that. If we do not have that collaboration and that funding, that system planning approach, we would not have achieved our success here. So that collective and that collaborative approach and people really going in the same direction is hugely important. And with that, sometimes it's not about always, you know, what you're doing. It's also what you're going to stop doing as well. We're talking systems. There are some things within systems and current systems that actually need to stop in order for the system to thrive.
Did you have to work hard to get your mayor, Ted Cluxton, on board?
Oh, our mayor. Yes, we had to work exceptionally hard to get our mayor on board. He is a huge advocate and ambassador for this working community, and he will say himself that he was probably one of our biggest shifts in community in terms of the support, and part of that was us, you know, taking a step back and looking at, using data and evidence and the success and failures of our programs to actually almost build the business case in terms of, some people, the morality of people experiencing homelessness is good enough, and some need to see the dollars and cents of it.
You see, this is it. I mean, you kind of get the right result, but for the wrong reasons?
I think we get the right results for all the right reasons. Sometimes when I say that, we sometimes are, our programs and services are not, operating as well. It's about us looking at our system of care and going, is that necessary and needed? Is it meeting the needs of the individuals? And so that ability to reconfigure and be nimble with our decision-making and kind of change our programs and services on the spot has been really beneficial to us, because it doesn't mean we're stagnated in a program or service that doesn't work. So I think our mayor seeing that and the data to back it up was really helpful. And at the end of the day, he talks about it the most, is that at the end of the day, there's one taxpayer. And if we're choosing to use that, our tax dollars to keep someone on the street, which costs double, if not triple, the amount, versus housing them and providing, the wraparound supports, option two is always the way to go.
Indeed, that was something that I read and that I find fascinating, was that the cost of housing the homeless was less than the cost of the emergency services needed by the homeless whilst on the streets.
Absolutely. We have a heavy focus on data and using that evidence base to not just showcase the work of Housing First, but to really look at that system utilization. So, when we look at days in jail for, I think we had at the time when we ran the analysis, 705 unique individuals, adults in our Housing First program, and we do assessments every 3 months. So we actually look and track these things, and, days in jail went down 73%. Once someone actually came into a Housing First program. And just, 73% might sound, out of context, but it went from like 11,000 days down to under 3,000 days.
That's incredible.
So the cost savings alone in those areas, when we look at the impact for corrections and, the fact that people have to stay in jail, that alone pays for the program.
And our thanks to Community Radio Y'all for that piece.